couldn't rope in a guest for this episode, but we're
apparently
back.
We stink or something.
Yeah.
Right. Our body odor's offending people.
But we're back with a retrospective episode number 4 of the Mega Man series, where we will be talking about the handheld games, starting with the Game Boy iterations. But the Game Boy ones are kind of interesting, because in Japan, they were known as the Rockman Mega World.
Mega World?
Or Rockman World. Sorry. Mega World. Oh, okay. Rockman Mega World was the Wily Wars in Japan. That's what I'm thinking of.
Oh, okay.
But I guess they call the Rockman World, which I don't know why, but it won't really have any relevance until the fifth game.
Yeah, the first four games are basically, let's just take the gameplay from the NES, or I'm sorry, they clarified, the NES games, and we'll take those Robot Masters and we'll put them in this, and the levels will be like slimmed down versions of what you play on there because the Game Boy isn't as powerful, obviously.
Also, for reasons completely unknown, they completely changed the soundtrack, and for at least the first three games, the soundtracks were of not considerable good quality.
No, they were not. In fact,
the second game in particular soundtrack would make your ears bleed.
Yeah. Well, there
is a track from the third game which they remix a lot, because apparently a lot of people like it for some reason, because it's probably the only good track out of the entire game.
Yeah, no, I don't remember any good tracks from it, because I remember turning down the volume on those because they just weren't, it wasn't the NES version, which is what I wanted, you know. It's like, this is just not good.
Anyways, this series of games has, like, a couple completely original robots that you have to fight. Usually, like, they're the second to last boss, or they're, like, the boss you fight before the Wily levels, and they usually give you the weapon that you need to fight Wily with. But the one in this game is Enker, who has a sword, and what he does is he basically charges up energy. When he has a sword raised, if you shoot him, he'll absorb the energy, and then he'll launch it back at you. But you kind of have to shoot him, so you just gotta learn when to avoid the blast. But it's basically like a mirror shot when you actually start using it, though. It doesn't do any energy absorption, but in this game, I don't know, did they just do three Robot Masters and like three other ones, or did they do like,
I thought it was
eight,
4 and 4.
Or did they do 8, but they like took 4 of them?
I thought it was 8, and it was 4 from the first one and 4 from the second one, and then like the second one they took some from the second one and some from the third, and the third they took some from. Oh, actually, yeah, here's the list. The Game Boy, the first one took ones from 1 and 2. The second one took ones from 2 and 3. The third one took robots from 3 and 4, and the fourth one took robots from 4 and 5.
Yeah, but I was wondering which of the Robot Masters they actually used.
Let's see here. Robot Masters, where's the list at? Well, you can keep talking while I find it.
Alright, anyways, that's the first game. It's like, there's not really much of a story behind it, but it's in the second game where they started to develop their own mythos for these games. Like, the second game involves a mysterious robot named Quint, who is revealed to be the Mega Man from, like, many, many years in the future. So it's 37.426 years. I guess that's days.
Jeez. Okay, so here's the list of the Robot Masters in the first one. Cutman, Iceman, Fireman, Electman, Quickman, Bubbleman, Flashman, and Heatman.
Anyways, Quint was like a Mega Man that was actually defeated by Dr. Wily and rebuilt to be evil. It says here, it says the storyline of Mega Man 2 involves the hero Mega Man battling his arch nemesis Dr. Wily as the latter once again attempts to take over the world. This time around, the evil genius has stolen an experimental time skimmer from the world's Kronos Institute and used it to travel so many years in the future. Meanwhile, Mega Man is sent to investigate an underground passageway containing enemy robot masters from his previous adventures.
So basically, you're saying Dr. Wily's already insane by this point, because if he wasn't insane, what he would have done is travel to the past before Mega Man was created and kill Dr. Light.
Yeah,
I mean,
cause like
so
even
obviously he was insane already.
yeah. It's like, let's do the hard thing.
Right.
But anyways, after you fight Quint, who actually fights with a pogo stick? Yeah, he uses a weird looking pogo stick, and basically the tremors it causes are supposed to damage you. Otherwise it'll just jump on top of you. But and that's how you defeat Dr. Wily in that game. But like the interesting thing about this game is like I think they started introducing the concept of Dr. Wily having spaceships that are like battle station size. Like the like the Yamato size, the Japanese battleships.
Okay.
But they started getting more elaborate. But then again, I might be thinking of the next game. But you do get Rush in this game for some reason. But it says the Rush Coil, the Rush Jet, and the Marine, which I think is actually used a lot more. But that's it for that game. But Mega Man 3, not much more. It doesn't have as good of a plot as the last one. They actually thought about a plot for the last one, but apparently Dr. Wily is now using a converted oil platform in the middle of the ocean to draw energy from the Earth's core.
God damn, he ain't even hiding. He's just doing it right out in plain sight. Like, eh, fuck him.
We need geothermal energy.
Like, hey, Dr. Wily, you shouldn't be doing that right in front of the public's eye, you know? Fuck you!
Anyways, Eddie makes it into this game. So it's the first appearance of Eddie in the Game Boy games, but
I wonder if he had another name in the Game Boy games.
hmm.
That'd be hilarious. Hilarious.
Anyways, let's see. The robot masters in this game are Snake Man, Shadow Man, Spark Man, and Gemini Man. And then the ones from Mega Man 4 are Dive Man, Drill Man, Skull Man, and Dust Man. And, I think this is when they started doing the space stuff. And, the robot killer in this one's Punk, who basically looks like a giant buzzsaw and has buzzsaws everywhere and throws buzzsaws at you. It's like, let's make Metal Man, but let's make him more toed.
Let's make him modern for the kids. We'll give him a toad, like that episode of The Simpsons when they try to improve Itchy and
Also, I think Quint is a type of like music, or maybe a type of beat. Where Anchor, I think, is supposed to be a play on Enya or Enka.
It's called Quint. I'm gonna Google Quint. A sequence of five cards of the same suit? No, that's not it. Short for quintuplet? No, that's not it either.
Type in Quint in music terms.
I'm on dictionary. Okay, Quint music. A type of sackbut, a musical instrument. I don't know what the hell a sackbut is.
But... A sackboot? So I guess it's like maybe an Indian music instrument or something.
A free bass system for the accordion invented by William Palmer. Sets for the accordion.
Wow. So there's something there. Look up Enker. I could be wrong about Enker.
How do you spell that one?
Enker.
Enker, that's the first thing that comes up. So let me add music to that.
Sorry for the dead air, but...
I mean, go ahead and keep talking while I'm trying
anyways,
to...
Anyways, the fourth main killer is actually named Ballade. Like, or Ballad. Which is a type of music. But, anyways, it's actually more of a dance, but I guess they're associating the type of music you'd hear during a ballad. But, He actually shoots, like, a type of grenade.
Yeah, nothing's coming up for him. The only thing that comes up is the game itself.
It's also relatively tall compared to the last couple Mega Man killers. Mm. Here's the story of this game. Mega Man trying to stop Dr. Wily, of course. Anyway, Wily is sending out a radio transmission that causes all the robots at the annual Robot Masters exposition to go on a rampage. And then he sends 8 new rebuilt robots of his own to different parts of the city to lead the destruction and distract Mega Man to give him time to do whatever he's actually doing.
I'm sorry, there's a Robot Master convention? Like, what the fuck, man?
Maybe it's like the Robot Museum in 7, where, like, these are all the robots that were made by a villain, and we're going to just honor their memory.
Yeah, here's all the junk.
Before they ended up being evil.
Okay, and then they have, like, a section for the future robots. Here are the robots he's going to use in the future. Oh, here he is now to kidnap those robots. Mm. Dr. Wily, would you like to comment? Fuck you! Damn, Dr. Wily's got such a vulgar mouth. He's telling everybody to fuck off. Anyway.
But yeah, the first four games don't have much of a plot. The fifth game actually has a bit more of a plot, which we're getting into now. But I will mention the Robot Masters, though, because there's a cutoff point after this game where, okay, the other four are Toadman, Brightman, Paraman, and Ringman, and then we get Crystalman, Napalman, Stoneman, and Chargeman. But, that leads right into 5, where they decided, I think at this point, Mega Man 6 might have not have been released yet.
Mega Man 6 was released late in the console's lifespan.
Yeah.
But I think that basically they decided they wanted to do something new with Mega Man, and I'm glad they did, because I really like this game. This was it was a completely different story, new game mechanics, and there was a new character, Tango, who we never see again. What the hell?
He shows up as
gets a cat and he's gone.
He shows up in a cameo in Proto Man's mode. I think he's a substitute for Rush.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
For Mega Man 10.
That's interesting. I need to go back and check. I don't remember that.
Also, if you play as a base, instead of Otto, you'll have Reggae.
Hmm.
Who looks like a bird. But,
I need to go back and play 10. I don't remember you being able to use Tango in 10. Oh.
I don't think you can use them for anything other than like the stuff that Rush did.
Right.
Because
right,
in this game, he turned into a buzzsaw, and he was kind of useless.
I know. He was completely... He was...
I mean, I did kind of use him whenever I could against the Mega Man, quote-unquote... actually, this is one of the things that is actually interesting about this game, is the final boss isn't Wily.
Yes, like I said, this one is a completely unique story, and this one doesn't have Robot Masters per se. They're not. There's no Cut Man. These are actually named after the Roman gods, which is really cool. So there's Mercury, Mars,
or the
Saturn,
planets that
Jupiter.
They actually are.
Well, yeah, I mean, well, those are what the planets are named after. They're named after the Roman gods.
Yeah, they're called the Stardroids, and They're supposed to, well, the mystique is that they're supposed to be from outer space, but Dr. Wily actually made them. And he just put them on different planets.
I know, he's a dick. He likes to do stuff like
And you
that.
basically have to fight them to get the energy sources that are needed to reach Dr. Wily, like, or to power the thing that lets you reach Dr. Wily. But, he, like, I guess Dr. Light's able to modify the planet, your, rush, adapter to make him usable in space flight.
Well, and we should mention first off, like in the story plot is the robots attack and Mega Man goes to fight him and he finds out his Mega Buster is completely ineffective
Yeah.
against him because of the metal Dr. Wily used. So his Mega Buster is replaced by a, what do they call it? A Mega Arm.
Yeah,
Replaced
which
by
is
the Mega
basically
Arm.
just the Rush adapter power from 6, but it's travels a lot further,
I
and
always looked at it more as it
you're
looks like
not
Hardman's
bulkier.
Hard Knuckle. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like Hardman's Hard Knuckle if it actually weren't slow.
Right.
But
Basically, it's still the Mega Buster, just design, just looks like his fist, basically. But it does
well,
come, it comes back to you though, doesn't it?
I'm pretty sure it's just the Mega Buster shooting his arm out
Yeah.
and using the excess energy to actually penetrate the armor that the enemies use. And it can actually get an upgrade that lets you, like, basically grab an enemy and do additional damage for a few extra seconds, which is neat. So,
Yeah, this one was one of the most unique of the Mega Man games. Like, this one decided to be, we're going to try some different things.
it also got it
And
was also the first and only Game Boy game to get color treatment.
it was color? I thought it was a black and white one.
Yeah,
Was
they had
color?
Super
Okay.
Game Boy capabilities for this.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
And it had a nice looking border if you played it on the Super Game Boy.
Yeah, I did have a Super Game Boy.
Or the Game Boy player on the GBA player
I had one of them too.
for the GameCube. It would let you load the Super Game Boy custom borders for those games that used it. The one thing I don't think it replicated was the Donkey Kong sound chip improvement for a couple extra sound effects that were played through the Super Nintendo sound chip.
Think I gave that to my nephew. I don't know if I still have that.
But
Need to check. No, I don't think I do.
Terra is the kind of Mega Man killer of this game, and he's the first guy that Mega Man fights that he realizes he can't fight them with his Buster. But his weapon is the weapon you used against Wily, but it's technically not the weakness against the actual final boss, whose name's Sunstar. And that Sunstar is a robot he created that actually powers the laser gun and Wily's Death Star. Yeah, Wily has a Death Star in this game.
The Wily Star. Death, who's just called who should just call Death Star?
Which
I don't
you
know.
have to
Does it have a
use
name?
Rush in a shmup-like section to get to the Death Star while avoiding the laser blasts. And
Yeah,
then you
you
have
can.
to take on the bow of the ship to create an opening.
Again, something completely unique to a Mega Man game up to this point. I mean,
Well,
really.
also Mega Man gets really tiny in that game when you get to the ship, because it's tiny compared to the actual Wily. Death Wily? Death Skull? I don't know. What do you call it, the Death Skull?
I don't remember. I'm looking for a name right now.
Anyways, after that happened, you basically, his weapon's a homing laser, so you use that and you just make short work of Wily's forms. And then, even though it's not a weakness against Sunstar, it is the most effective and safe thing to use against him, because Sunstar is actually pretty difficult. Like, he'll either shoot his giant laser at you, or he'll shoot something up in the air that basically causes acid rain to happen. And it'll melt the floor, so you'll go through several sections of floor, and the fire will hurt you. And, so you can use Tango against him too when he's, like, not moving and jumping all over the place. It does okay damage, but I wouldn't rely on it. But that's Mega Man 5. There's apparently a cheat in the game that like lets you get like the Super Mega Arm upgrade, I guess, if you die a lot. But I think there's
Yeah.
like.
It's not a cheat. It's basically the game pities you. If you keep dying repeatedly,
Yeah,
things like
I
you
couldn't get it to work though, so it's like,
I don't know. I always got that thing.
how many times did you have to die?
I
And is
can't
it and
remember.
is it permanent?
Well, yeah, you keep the mega arm, the super mega arm, but yeah, it's basically the game pitying you that you've died so many times. You're like, well, here, you obviously need help.
And is it just the upgrade that you can buy it later?
Yeah.
No.
It's nothing. It's nothing special. It's just you get it earlier.
But I think something was, you could do something similar to that with your Mega Buster in the fourth game, but I'm not entirely sure about that.
I don't remember that.
But the game actually had good music and the level design was good, but it is more or less a remix of Mega Man 5, but instead of using the older robot, the other set of robots, they basically made them these, gave them original designs and original levels, but with similar themes to the themes in those games. Because, like, I think Mars is a lot like Napalm Man's, and Venus is a lot like, well, it's kind of a remix of both Bubble Man and Wave Man's, but.
And I felt like this one played better than the other four. Like
Yeah.
this one felt closest to the NES title of all of them. I didn't mean to derail you, I'm sorry.
No, I'm not derailed. It's just like, apparently, this game was developed by the company that the third party ca company that Capcom outsourced to create the game, but like, I guess they got their act together.
They did a good job. Yeah, it's actually, and I'm reading here, they're in the same company that did all the first four games, like you said. So, like you said, I don't know what happened that made them change it up in the fifth one to give us a completely unique yet very much Mega Man experience, you know?
Maybe Inafune didn't like the quality of the first four. He's like, do something original.
Yeah, I can't blame that.
It's a kind of a shame that they didn't use the Super Game Boy to actually take advantage of the extra sound effects that Donkey Kong enjoyed. That was the only game that made use of that other than Space Invaders, which like completely upgraded the game visually.
Yeah. I did like the Super Game Boy a lot.
But that's Mega Man 5. Oh yeah, one more thing to note was like the devil enemy you fight in this game isn't the devil enemy. He's Ramun, which is like a character that showed up at Super Adventure Rockman. So he started here, and then they put him in that film. I mean, he basically is a devil, but at the same time, he's not.
I don't remember fighting the devil in that one, so is he an easier or a harder one? I
You
can't
fight
remember.
him before you go to the other set of the other Robot Masters.
It's been a while since I played.
But with that, we go into the Mega Man Battle Network series, or the Rockman EXE games. Battle Network Rockman EXE.
These games were a lot of fun, I think. And basically, these were shrank down versions of the X games. But they played very well for a portable system. And these were Game Boy Color, right?
Those are Extreme you're thinking about.
Oh, what are we talking? What did you say? I thought you said shrink.
Mega Man Battle Network. If we could talk about Extreme.
Oh, I thought you said.
I kind of wanted to save Extreme for the X stuff though, so.
Okay, then let's do that. We gotta talk about the Battle Network. Okay, I played only the first Battle Network game, and it wasn't that I didn't enjoy it because I did like it. It was just after that they started the whole you have to buy this one
Well,
and
no,
you
they
get
didn't do
these
that
characters.
until the third game,
It was
actually.
the third one? Okay. Well, I don't know which one it was, but that's the reason I'm like, okay, I don't want to. I don't want to have play two different games just to get the all the characters.
Anyways, this game is a card battle RPG with an action twist to it. Because it's not just use a card and do an attack. It's like you select a series of cards that whether or not they can be used together in a sequence or like they're based on codes, and sometimes you can use codes together as if they're like alphabetical. Or you can use two of the same type of card, or you can use the star or the asterisk cards, which can be used with any combination of cards. But those will be your special attacks, and those are probably your primary method of attack, because your Buster starts off really fucking weak and slow. You can upgrade it to be really strong later, but your bread and butter in this game is going to be the cards you use. And you're on a 6x6 grid with you can use up to 3, but you can increase it to 4 if you get to steal area cards. But your character doesn't really animate when you move from tiles. You'll just shift their position.
And we know we're talking about cards, but this isn't actually a card game. This is a real-time strategy RPG?
Kind of, yeah, pretty much.
I think that's the best way to describe it.
Because it's all about positioning and knowing when to use a card.
Yep.
But, doing well in a battle will increase your Buster rank, which increases the likelihood of getting either a lot of money or rare cards.
Oh, okay. I'm looking at the list. Battle Network 2 came out the same year. That's the problem. I was still playing the first one when the second one came out.
Mm. But, you should have kept up with the series, even with that stupid mechanic, because there's not enough differences to warrant playing the other version.
Yeah, I guess I should have, but...
But,
at the time, I was younger and more, like... You know,
I mean, I
this
didn't
is
buy
ridiculous, and I'm not going to support that type thing. You know,
I actually played them on an emulator before I ended up buying them, and I ended up buying them used years later, because I didn't have a job because I was still in high school, and that's all I'll say about that.
Gotcha. Yeah.
By the time I was old enough to pay for them, they were already out of market. So I mean, I could get them used, but. Couldn't buy them new in a store anywhere, pretty much.
The first one I actually ever bought on my own was
6, and that was the final one.
Right.
And then I bought the DS port of 5. It's like we got a DS port of 5, and then we're going back to Game Boy Advance for 6 for some reason.
Yeah, that is weird. Why is, what's the difference between 5 for the DS and the Game Boy Advance?
It's actually a combination of the two games, and you can even choose which version you want to play first.
Okay.
And it has updated music, like severely updated music, because like the weird thing about this game is because like it's on the Game Boy Advance. Like you either put your resources into graphics and presentation at the cost of music usually. Or you had really good music, or you could, if you had the budget and you were Golden Sun developers, you had a nice meet balance between the two. But usually companies had to choose between one or the other.
Yeah.
So most of the music sounded like 8-bit stuff, and like a weird fusion of 8-bit plus stuff that you'd probably hear on the Super Nintendo.
You think it's about time for a revision of the network series? It's been since 2005.
Yeah, but I think maybe the Fully Charged would be a good series to do something like that with. Mm. But anyways, this series of games features basically like I said, you could use the cards, but you play as a Lan Hikari is actually just a normal human, and then Mega Man's actually his Navi, which are basically like
programs. Mega Man dot exact, to be exact.
Yeah.
So he's actually like a computer file, like
Yeah.
He's an executable file, basically.
Not a robot, but hey.
He's fighting in the online frame, so it wouldn't make sense to have a robot, you know?
Yeah. I mean, eventually, like, with the TV series, they'd have stuff where, like, he comes into the real world using, like...
Yeah, the TV series was crazy. There was a lot of stuff like that, especially towards the end of it when they start bringing everybody into real life.
Coming to real life plus fusion. Yeah, they fused together and fought together, basically.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yes. And you find out he's actually a recreation of Lan's brother, Hub.
What was his name?
Hub in the U.S. version. Hub in the U.S. version. And Saito in the Japanese version for Sight, you know. Gotcha. And Lan's Hikari's name in the Japanese version was Neto Akari. And Akari means light, and you find out that his grandfather was Thomas Light, or whether his Japanese name is, I forget. It was something Hikari. But his dad is also... a Navi developer, too, but he's less well-known as his father. But, and so, like, Dr. Wily has a feud with Dr. Light, because of course he does, so he wants to take over the world using the internet. So he creates the World 3 organization, which is the WWW. And,
yes,
and,
not and, very creative is Dr. Wily.
So the Robot Masters are now,
yeah,
like...
Yeah, he comes up with some current robots.
So the Robot Masters are now computer programs that are spreading viruses over the net. Now that's what you have to do in these series of games. There's a big old story, and there's usually a lot of nonsense by Lan and his friends. Cause like Dex is like one of his friends. He has Guts Man, and then there's Yai who has Gate EXE. I think. No, I'm thinking of somebody else.
I find most of his friends to be annoying, except for Claude, who isn't really his friend.
Yeah, Claude is just the too cool for school, I'm going to be Proto-Man dude, basically Proto-Man.
Right.
Who, unfortunately, we don't learn very much about, other than the fact that he's, like, the son of a guy who's, I guess, like, high society dude. And he expects a lot of things from him. So he ends up working with, like, the Net Police, I guess.
He's one of the best.
But he's, in the show, they give him more personality, but in the games, he's kind of a dick most of the time.
That's true. Yeah, I really hate the segments with all of his friends. Like, I want to get back into the game. I just want to go through the dungeon. I don't want to deal with your kids. Ugh.
So, yeah, like, the super boss of this game, and for several of the games in the series, is actually Base EXE. And Zero does show up, but it's weird, because even though he's named Zero EXE, he's technically an antivirus, because he was created to fight the Dream Virus, which was the final boss of the first game, and the final boss of the Network Transmission game, which actually plays... more like a classic Mega Man, but with still the card chip system.
Yeah, that one's an odd game.
It's also incredibly difficult. Especially once you start out. Because, like, the number of lives you get is limited. And it's very easy to die. And there aren't very many things like energy tanks in the game.
I know I own it. I just don't remember liking it, basically.
Like, you wanna die a lot? Play Needle Man's level. There's spikes everywhere.
Yeah.
And the first boss you fight in Network Transmission, just like their first game, is Fireman, and there's fire everywhere, and most of it will kill you in one hit.
Yeah. That sucks too.
The interesting thing about those levels, though, in the game, the areas that they, like, occupy, they're actually slightly remixed arrangements of the level themes for the first game for those respective Robot Masters. It's like Iceman and Fireman, I think some of the other ones also sound like that, but they're so drastically different. They're hard to tell, but it's in there somewhere. But when we get to the third game, they started doing the Pokemon thing where there's two different versions, and usually if the differences are so minute, like it wasn't even worth it. I mean, at least in Pokemon, they changed up the different Pokemon encounters that you could do during when you're exploring the field. In this game, it was battle chips, but there are ways of getting around that. And I think you could actually eventually trade with other people later. And most of the best battle cards were battle cards that weren't exclusive to that version. Like, there's ways to get around that, but you still there?
I'm here. I'm
Oh yeah.
listening.
Because I thought I heard a beep, and I was wondering what that was all about.
Oh, sorry, I just wasn't interrupting. I didn't hear a beep on my end.
But the interesting thing about Battle Network 2 story is that isn't so much the story so much as the name they decided to go with the final boss and the name of the organization, which is actually just another front that Dr. Wily's using. But he has like little to no involvement in the game other than the fact that it's related to his plan. Because like you meet him again in the third game, and then you finally take down Dr. Wily. But he gets arrested, and you don't have to deal with Dr. Wily again. I'm being serious because you have to deal with the son instead. They actually take a break with the fourth game, and you're fighting this card, basically battle chip net master championship. Like I guess you fight to compete who's the best Navi user or whatever. And during this time, an evil virus from like outer space wants to destroy the Earth, and that's Duo EXE. So he wants to crash a meteor to the planet, and you stop him.
Because of course he does. I mean, why wouldn't he want to crash a meteor into the planet? I mean, that would only kill all life and destroy the network. You know, there'd be no internet anymore, so how would he exist too?
But like back to the name of the organization is Gospel, and that's also the name of the virus that you fight at the end.
Ah, that's why it's got
It's like
first.
instead of treble, so that was interesting. It's like the games themselves had some interesting translation choices at times, including the fifth game where there's this whole skit. The game is literally a gem because like there was this thing called the Underpants Dance, and I was like, why are kids doing this absolutely stupid things? And when we've seen them to do the contrary in these games, where they are shown to be more competent, that they wouldn't even do something like this.
That sounds like more of a SpongeBob episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there was like random NPCs that said very questionable things, which were made even more questionable by the fact that the translation wasn't great. But like they upgraded the battle system into to like accommodate this thing called the style system. It was kind of its proto form at that point, but like you could basically take on an element and use a shield of that element to block against certain types of attacks. This later morphed on to actually taking on the various traits of the different EXE programs. Like you could have gut style and use powerful guts attacks, and then like certain types of car battle chips you use would be strengthened by that. So that was interesting, and it got even more elaborate later on. But with Battle Network 5 actually having like a mini strategy RPG section where like you have to move characters on a field, and then once they engage the enemy, you play as that character.
That sounds cool.
But, let's see, Mega Man Battle Network 5 also. I mean, that one had a lot more differences than maybe the other, like, 3 or 4 did. Because, like, they decided to, like, change certain aspects of the story. Because, like, you go with Team Proto Man, you'd be partnering up with Proto Man a lot more. But if you did Team Colonel, you'd be partnering up with him a bit more. Like, Colonel from the X. So it's like, they had a lot of more X characters in this game. It's like, even Gate EXE shows up. No, wait, I'm thinking of Yai's. Yai's was Glide EXE. It's like, yeah, they even threw the Legends characters in there sometimes.
Wow.
Yeah. And, like, instead of Clown Man, you get Color Man. And instead of, Bright Man, you get Number Man.
Color Man and Number Man, huh?
Yeah. And,
well, now I want those in the next Mega Man game.
Fairman showed up, and he looked more like, the Maverick from, Mega Man Zero, though, than anything else. And, like, and Ground Man, instead of being a drill guy, he's, like, literally made out of, like, ground.
Well, he got gypped.
Yeah. In fact, he might have been Sandman EXE, not even Groundman EXE.
Mm.
But, they were fun, but, but they're definitely a questionable quality, and not everybody liked them, and not everybody liked that style of gameplay. A lot of people avoided them because of that. But there's
This wasn't the action platforming game a lot of people wanted. Yeah. It's a completely different take, which I like when they do different things with Mega Man.
But there's also the Rock Band EXE for Wonder Swan, which is plays kind of like Network Transmission. Only not really. I mean, I could see it being like a good proto form for what they were going to do with that eventually, because this did release before that. But excuse me. But there's even this Mega Man Battle Chip Challenge, which is just basically the Battle Chip fights.
Yeah, that's the card game. I actually got a free copy of that game. I tried playing it, but it's not a card battle game, card battle games.
Yeah, it's the card battle game, and you don't have complete control over your character.
Ugh.
So that was the biggest no-no to that game.
Yeah, there was nothing good about that game.
Also, no story at all. So it's like, do these things. But, then there was, going back to Battle Network 4. There's this Battle Network or Rockman EXE 4.5 Real Operation, which is a Game Boy Advance game that I think used the e-reader. But it basically turned your Game Boy Advance into the PET.
Well, there were some games used like cool e-reader type. Like the Super Mario Advance games, they would add like extra levels.
Yeah,
and
there's a specialized cartridge. New items and stuff. It's a specialized cartridge which you'd use this peripheral to scan the cards physically.
But yeah.
You could buy those cards, but they never released in the U.S. For obvious reasons.
Nintendo has always been about gimmicks.
But,
they didn't start as a card dealing company, so it makes sense that they, you know, want to sell cards just every once in a while.
But Double Team DS took some of the ideas from the e-reader thing, and, its GUI and stuff like that, but it doesn't do any of the e-reader stuff for obvious reasons. Lack of compatibility. The Battle Network 5, like we mentioned, had a DS mode or a DS port, but it's strange that 6 never did. I feel like 6 is the most refined in the entire series for obvious reasons, but it was held back because of the platform it was on. It also has the most nonsense story, but like the story with Wily's son effectively ended with 5, so they kind of needed to just make one up.
Gotcha. It's odd that they went back to the Game Boy Advance.
Basically, like there's these like cyber beasts roaming around in the internet, and they're like, they could probably destroy the internet if they aren't taken care of.
Oh, well, you gotta take care of them then.
It's like back in the ye olde days when the net was new, we locked away these monsters because they would have destroyed everything.
Yeah, when we're inventing the network, we invented these monsters too, but they turned out to be a bitch. So they've been there the whole time. What? Really? No.
But,
I could have swore I went right past where they... No, they were there.
The gimmick in this game is you basically could take a Gregor or Felzer styles once you tame them, and then you fought an even greater evil. It's like the antagonist of the game was like the cyber beast you don't fuse with in that game. It's like if you played Gregor, you'd fuse with Gregor, but you'd fight Falzar at the end.
Oh, okay.
But anyways, oh yeah, there's Circus Man, which is also not Cloud Man. It's like, let's fuck with people some more by making not Cloud Man 2. Alright. But that's the EXE games. There's also this one for the DS called Rockman EXE Operate Shooting Star, which is a weird crossover between Mega Man Star Force and the Rockman EXE storylines. Like, I guess one visits the other's world, but... basically, the Star Force games are the DS are basically what Mega Man X is to Mega Man, but like it's edgier. It's got like deeper themes and like edgier themes because like Geostellar, the character of that series, starts out being extremely depressed because his dad died.
Aw, that's sad. Yeah, I've never played Star Force, so I have no idea.
And then he uses the Navi, or he uses the alien Omega Ziz, who came to his planet to like find somebody who'd be a good host to fight back the invasion from his people of his world when he basically deserted the rulers from whatever world he came from because they were going to take over the place, and now they were fighting them. But instead of like the side view, it's basically over the shoulder, and it's weirder. But it's still a fun game. It's just Capcom was kind of running out of steam at this point, I think. But I don't think it's as good, but I think it's still worth playing. But like. The whole concept of, like, an alien that's not a robot or even a computer program, and is instead an alien that's made up of radio waves.
Huh? All I can say is, huh?
Yeah. Instead of, like, I think they were chips in the previous game. This one, they're actual cards. It's like battle cards. Basically the same thing, though. They've just got a radio wave information encoded on them instead of it being a computer chip. But, those are the EXE games. But we're going to also talk about the weird Game Gear and Battle and... Yeah, we'll talk about the weird Game Gear one, but I'm going to mention a little bit of the Rockman Fort Wonderswan game that never saw release in the U.S. or Europe. But you can tell me about the game you're wearing, because I don't have much experience with it, and I've only watched a video of it being played.
Which game are you talking
The
about?
Game Gear Mega Man game.
My Mega Man game?
Yeah. Didn't you say you played it?
Which one? What are
The
you talking
game
about?
Gear Mega Man game.
No, Game Gear one. No, I said I tried to get it.
Oh, okay.
I was trying to get one, a copy of it, because I have a Game Gear.
It's kind of like the Game Boy ones, and in a way, it's kind of like the aborted plans for just recycling the other half of Mega Man 4 and 5, because like it's got like four of the Robot Masters from, or I don't know if it's got a 4, but it's got some from 4 and then some from 5. It's actually pretty short too, because like the Wily levels, I think there are only like three of them. And I think it was made by US Gold. And it's kind of weird, because like the game like has this weird thing, because like the Game Gear's screen was kind of small, but like the Game Gear was also capable of having more data being processed at the t at any given time, so like there'd be stretches of screen that would go on instead of it being like a single screen type of experience. But like it was weird though, because it was zoomed in and it didn't look all that good. But especially if you were trying to play on a Game Gear and not an emulator, because the Game Gear screen was kind of garbage. So it was kind of hard to see what you're doing, because there's motion blur everywhere.
Yeah, that screen is terrible. You need light, and you have to have a right angle just to see it perfectly. It's, yeah.
In my opinion, it's not a very good game. It's probably best ignored. I think it's simply called Mega Man.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. Developed by US Gold, or published by US Gold, developed by Freestyle. It's called Mega Man.
At least it's better than the DOS games.
So Capcom just licensed that, basically. They didn't do anything with that.
Yeah. But that's the handheld stuff.
So, did we get all that? Oh, that's right. We're saving this to the
I would have talked about Rock Band and Fort a bit more, but I also have like little experience with that. All I know is that Dynaman's in it, and like all the other Robot Masters are completely original, I think.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
But
I
like,
like one of the new monsters.
but it's a WonderSwan game, so the music sucks. At least the WonderSwan Color game of Rock Band EXE was better. But, like, I'm surprised it plays as well as it does, but, like, the very first level, you're in the cave for whatever reason, not the Robot Museum. But it's very easy to die because there's spikes that will kill you. And much like, the Game Gear game, it's also very short. Because I saw a video of it being played, but like it didn't come out in the US, but it did get a fan translation. I think even the XE game did too. But that's all I really have to say. This is just a shorter episode.
I'm looking at the mobile phone games in Mega Man. They have listed a 2003 game, which I think I played, which was gameplay wise, it played pretty well actually. Sounded like ass, and it looked even worse, but it played better than most of the Mega Man games I've played on a mobile phone. Especially the 2, which came out in 2007, which was basically a very choppy, hard to play port of 2. It
Yeah.
was impossible to play, and the sound clips last they'd play for about, I think, 20 seconds and then start over.
It's the exact same port of the mobile version that came out before.
It was absolutely terrible in every single way. And there was a third one that came out, but after the second one, there's no way I was getting the third one. looking at all these other ones, most of these didn't come out in America because they're all Rockman games. There was Mega Man Rocket Christmas. I've never heard of that one.
What?
I want to know more about that one. I need to look that up. But there was a side-scrolling Mega Man game where you're mostly – it was you riding on Rush, and you were just going through the levels, and they had unique bosses at the end. Mm. They were all water-based enemies. Mm. Mm.
Rush Surfer? I don't know.
Mega Man – it was a Rush Marine. Mega Man Rush Marine. That's what it was called.
Mm.
I found it. Yeah, I'm always say Rush Jet. You were in Rush Marine the whole time. It was a side-scrolling game, and it was bad in every way. But I need to know more about Mega Man Rocket Christmas.
But that's all I can say. But
and then there's they recently, as of 2017, released all of the originals. One of these days, I'm gonna bite the bullet and buy one of them to see how bad they are. It's only a couple bucks, but I know it's gonna be bad.
What, they ported the 1 through 6 on the iOS again?
Yep. Hmm. Yep. They're all $2 on the Android and the iOS market.
I wonder if they're just ports of the mobile versions from, like, the non-smartphones.
Oh, God. Probably. Wow, Mega Man Rocket Christmas. There are images of everything. This is the best. Mega Man's in, like, a Santa Claus suit. Like, he's got a red and white helmet. Like, are you kidding me?
But that's all for the handheld series, but we'll be back with Mega Man X and Extreme. So we'll do X through X4 and the Extreme games, as well as the remake of Mega Man X on the PSP.
Yeah, that was a good one.
But until then, see you guys later. Bye-bye.